St. Patrick never came to County Clare, but other good men came in his place. They were never short of religion in County Clare, you may say. Men such as St. Sennan, McCullough, McCreehy, Cronin, and others. They weren't long putting the evil spirits to flight out of there and making the place safe for decent people to live in. But there was one thing and one demon that they never got rid of, and that was the demon drink. And more about that later. But all of this was far from the mind of St. McCullough on that fresh spring morning in the year 538, as he looked up at the hill of Tulla and said to his little group of followers, "Aha," says he, "this is the place for us. We'll build here." That was what they did. Built a fine church on top of the hill and lived and worked there year after year. And they were buried there when they came to die. What would St. McCullough have thought, I wonder, if he could have seen what was to be buried there in later ages? Centuries passed away until it was time when the landlords ruled Ireland, and tough rulers they were too. Charge the people higher rents and keep them ignorant. That was their policy. Now, there was a man living near Tulla, a small farmer, like most of the other people around there. And he had to pay his rent, like all the rest of them, two times in the year. But, should the poor man, he had no money. He had to keep a couple of pigs. People used to keep calves. Any other kind of livestock like that to pay the landlord on the gale day. Like I say, this man had two pigs. And it came time for paying the rent. And a couple of days before that, he said to his wife, "Look, I'll go down to Limerick tomorrow morning early, and I'll get the fare there, and maybe I can sell the pigs and make a piece of money. Call me, will you, and have the breakfast ready." She had. And off they went, himself and his horse, and the two pigs packed into the creel of the car before the dawn came up at all. Down they went the Cratlow Road, a lonesome road it is too. And he got into Limerick at an early hour, got a good place on the street, and untackled his horse. He thought he'd be out of it early, maybe. He wasn't. As long as he was there, people were coming to look at the pigs, admiring them for fine animals, but when they heard the price he was asking, they all turned their backs away, and the day passed on. Noon came, and poor man, of course, he hadn't a bite to eat, or the pigs either, or the horse. And the evening time came, and he said, "Look, to hell with this. I'm sick of waiting here in this place. Landlords and bailiffs and buyers, they can all go to hell. I'm going home." And he tackled up his horse, put the pigs back into the creel, and headed off out of town. Always is the story, of course, that one misfortune follows another. And that poor man, he was hardly 2 miles out of the town of Limerick when it started to rain. Big drops out of the sky, down on top of his head, and it flowed down to the peak of his cap, down onto his nose, and down on his knees. He was soaked. And would you blame the poor man when he came to an old shebeen along the road? That he says, "Look, I'll go in here and get something to warm myself." He tied up the horse to a tree outside and went in. And I suppose he fell in with other people, drinking and talking, and he didn't miss the time going. Until the man of the house said, Min, I have to go to bed. Have you any homes to go to?" And they trooped out, one man this way, another man that way, and my man made for the horse and car. In the darkness now he found his way, and felt the horse, and felt his way to the reins, untied them, and struggled up on the car. The road was sloping up towards Cratlow, and indeed the roads that time, they were fairly shook. "No tar, I'm telling you." And I suppose with the drink he had took, and the darkness of the night, and the bumping of the wheels, a doze of sleep fell on the man. And whatever kind of a stone the wheel of the car went over, the bump knocked my man back in with the pigs, and the creatures, like I told you, they were starved all day, and in no time at all they attacked my man and ate him up, body and bones, until there was nothing left, only his two boots and the bones of his shins sticking up out of him. The horse, of course, knew nothing about all this, only went on its journey, and eventually came to its own boreen. Many's the time I see that, the man drunk inside the back of the car, and the horse off, going home sedately. 'Twas the same here. Made the boreen, and went in along, and of course the man's wife was waiting, and she was wondering what was keeping him, and she was going to give him a bit of her tongue, and there was no lights in yards in those days, and all she could hear was the car coming, could see nothing. And she shouted out, "Well, what delayed you, and kept you out till this hour of the night? Blackguarding, I suppose." No reply from the man, of course. Well, the horse came up and stopped outside the door, and she said again, "Are you there? Where were you?" No reply. And she went over to the horse. She looked, could see nothing. She went back along and looked into where the pigs were. And in the gloom now, all she could see was the two pigs wrapped up in each other, sound asleep and snoring. She went back out the boreen to the road and looked up and looked down. No sign of my man. So she went to the neighbour's house and she knocked at the door. Hammered them up out of bed. Faith, aye. The window overhead opened up and a head came out. "What do you want? Who is it?" "My husband, he never came home. What'll I do?" "Oh, Lord God," says they, "you'd swear to the first time he didn't come home. And a what, woman? Go to bed, will you? He's only gone in some place along the way." "But the horse is here," says she. "What can I do?" "Do nothing except go to bed and leave us go to bed, will you?" And they slammed the window. She had to go back to the house, but I tell you, she didn't get much sleep that night. There she was, under the hearth, waiting for her man to come home, and he didn't. The following morning, early, when she heard the buckets rattling outside in the neighbour's house and knew they were going milking the cows, out she went again and said to them, "Look, he never came back. Will you help me, please, to look for him?" "All right," said they, "we'll go back a bit the road with you." And they did. And they asked at this house, "Did you see such and such a man?" "No." "Did you see such a man?" "No." Nobody had heard about him at all. And they kept going back until they came to the shebeen. And they asked the man of the house, and he there now, and he polishing the glasses with his apron. And they said, "Did you see such and such a man last night?" "Oh," says he, "yes, yes, a man of that description was here. Yes, but he left at a very respectable hour." "Did you ever hear a publican to tell a wife anything else about her husband?" "He wasn't to be found, so back they had to go to Limerick all the way, and no news." There were the miserable little group that came home that evening, trudged in the boreen and into the yard, and 'twas only then that one of them saw the horse and the car, and he says, "Oh, the poor animal, he'll be jaded, I'll let him out." He went over to the horse and was just untackling him when he looked into the creel and saw the mess inside, and the two boots and the bones sticking up, and the pigs in there covered with blood. "Oh," says he, "hi, I have him found, come here quick." And all of them ran over and gathered around the car and looked in. And the woman, of course, the man's wife, came over as well, and they said, "Stay away, stay away, you wouldn't be in the better of looking at it." But she would look at it, and the minute she did, she went down in a faint. They had to carry her in and put her up on the bed inside. Oh, the poor woman. The bother was now, what would they do? Some said, "Send for the peelers, they'll know what to do." And more of them said, "No, send for the priest, he'll know what to do." As it happened, priest and peelers came in the boreen together, and arrived in at the yard. And then the argument started in earnest. The police, they wanted to arrest the pigs as accomplices in the crime. And the priest said to them, "What kind of Christians are ye? Arrest them? What about the poor woman there? And what about the men? Are we going to give them any Christian burial at all?" "We don't know about that," said the police. "We have our jobs to be doing. Go back now to Tullus, and get new orders from your superior officers. We'll be here when you come back." The police went off, and when they were gone, the priest said, "Right, men, here's what we'll do. Some of you there, go back to Tullow quick and order a big coffin, and bring it back here as fast ever as you can. The rest of you, kill them two pigs." And father," says one of the men, "will we cut him open and take out the man?" "Not at all," says the priest. "Wouldn't he be like a black pudding inside him now? How could you do that to his wife? Kill the pigs and leave the man inside him." That's what they did. Kill the two pigs, and when the men with the coffin came back from Tulla, the two pigs were ready, and they put the pigs into the coffin and put the boots in with them, put down the cover in the coffin, and they met the police going up to Tulla with the funeral procession and the priest leading it. Well, they had the neatest funeral you ever saw. Everything was done correctly and precisely, and they buried my man above inside in the graveyard on the hill of Tulla. Or maybe I should say they buried the two pigs. But whatever it was, they were all buried. And a while later, when the grave had settled down, they made a collection in the parish, and they got a fine new headstone carved out and laid it down on the ground with the man's name and the date of his death, and the picture of two pigs carved out, one on each side. And 'tis there to this day. And if you don't believe me, go up to the graveyard of Tulla, and behind the ruin of St. McCullough's Church, you'll find inside in the corner that very same headstone, and see it for yourself.